Papa is not here this morning. He's down in Alma preaching for family. He's down with Pastor Pam preaching down there. Him and Pastor Billy Ray, Pastor Maxie. But family, connections of the network. God put us in families, not just in a church, but in a place that you have people that care for you, that pray for you, that thinks about you, that always has your best interests at heart, because he has your best interests at heart. So if he placed you in that type of family, don't you know how much they love you? So as you continue to pray for Pastor Key, continue to pray for the network, continue to pray for our apostle, continue to pray for the leaders and the different people that God has placed us in connection with. But just like always, when our papa goes away, he wants to send his love, because you know he hates not being here. He always wants to be here. But he always leaves someone that's connected to the family to fill the pulpit, to continue to feed us, to bless us. So I want you to stand and give Pastor Adam a hand as he comes to the platform.
Amen. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Amen. Well, today I'm going to be ministering on a very, very serious topic. I mean, this is one of those topics that it really challenges us. And so if I was to put a title to this, which I did put a title to this, I'm going to be preaching on the title, Big Butts. Big Butts. Amen. And we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to refresh on the message from last week, and then I'm going to bring forth something that I feel that's been it's pretty fresh in my spirit that I was preparing for yesterday and the day before and the day before. And let me just tell you something. Because of the teaching and the revelation that we've been getting from Apostle, it's definitely different in your preparation for your sermons, because you have to rethink differently. In fact, I repented the whole time I was trying to put this message together, because of the revelation that's been coming and challenging us to understand that, man, God just extremely loves us so much with an agape love, where we only give him the phileo love back. And so we're going to go ahead and read the scripture. Thank you so much for standing for the word of God, as we do as a custom around here. We're going to be reading out of Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 19. And it says this, and it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence. Somebody say, I have confidence. Now turn to your neighbor and say, you got some confidence. Now turn to somebody else and say, we got confidence. All right. To enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, and by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance. Somebody say full assurance. Say, I got full assurance. Turn to somebody else, say, we got full assurance. Amen. That faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled and cleansed us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Somebody say, profess. Say, I profess. Say, we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Somebody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as I was preparing for this message, I was taken actually back to a story that I heard of a husband and his wife, who on one Sunday morning, the wife got up, got dressed for church, and it was just about time for service, and she noticed that her husband had not moved a finger to getting dressed. And perplexed, she asked him, she said, why aren't you getting dressed for church? And he said, because I don't want to go. How many has ever said that before? I just don't want to go. All right. Most of y'all are liars, but that's okay. All right. And she asked, she said, do you have any reasons why you're not going to church? And he said, yes, I have three good reasons. He said, first, the congregation is cold. Second, no one likes me. And third, I just don't want to go. And the wife replied wisely, and she said, well, honey, I have three reasons why you should go to church. She said, first, the congregation is is warm. She said, second, there are a few people that do like you. And third, you're the pastor. Get up and get dressed. You know, I really relate to that story. We probably, me and Lisa probably had those discussions before. And so, but this morning, I really want to talk about this, this title of Butts, because, and I want to recap a little bit about last week. Last week, we weren't here. We were in Nashville, Tennessee, celebrating my grandmother's birthday. She had turned 90. And man, she is still going. Do you? And these are just things I like to brag about my family. She was 85 years old, still working full time. Come on, somebody. Yeah. I have a great uncle that's 89, and he still restores cars. And they're just they're just healthy, and it's just, I'm like, Lord, please let me have them genes. I need them genes right there in my body. And so. But we weren't here last week, but I caught up and listened to the sermon from last week that Pastor had preached on. And so I want to recap a little bit about that, because there were some really good nuggets that I want to make sure that we understand, that we would bring into our mindset and into our heart set to understand that how much God truly is loving us. Amen. And it's such a strong pulling and wooing from Pastor's sermon last week as God's unfailing love for you and I. How many believes that God truly agapes us? How many believes that He truly agapes us? Amen. That we are experiencing a true love, a love that has no wrongs, a love that is pure, a love that is about sacrifice, and a love that literally will change us if we even begin to comprehend just a little bit of that kind of love. And so, you know, listening to the sermon last week, and I know it sounds like we're probably on a Wednesday night with your small group, you know, kind of going over this, but these are some of the hot points that I really felt out of the sermon. And then I'll get into my sermon, and I'll go through this as fast as I can, although I don't get to preach up here very often, so I may keep you to 2 or 3 o'clock, okay? I'm just letting you know right now. I might take advantage of that. Amen. I thought I'd get a laugh or two out of that, but I guess not. All right. So one of the hot points that I want us to really comprehend and really to pull in is the hot point, number one, is confess unto righteousness. Confess unto righteousness that we have been made righteous. Amen. It's nothing that we have done of our own, but God has prepared the way. He has made the way. He has completed the way that we now can call ourselves righteous. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor and say, you're righteous. Amen. Turn to the other neighbor and say, you're righteous. I mean, we can't leave people out in here. We need people to understand that you have been made righteous. When we were placed in Christ, somebody say, in Christ, we have been made righteous. Amen. Right there, that deserves a hand clap of praise right there. Amen. Number two hot point that I got out of this is believe in the one God sent. Believe in the one that God sent. We see in John 6:29, Jesus answered, he said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Now, last week, you know, I was really challenged because I've used the same lingo and the terms that Pastor was using last week about, I want God to use me. How many has ever really said that? I just want God to use me. And here's the thing, God does use willing vessels to complete the task, but he does not use you just to abuse you. Come on. Amen. He doesn't use you to abuse you, but we are to be co-laborers with him. Amen. And so that's why we go and we fulfill the Great Commission. We go and baptize those. We go and we go to the highways and byways and compel people, and we live the life before people so that they would understand that there's a great life when we're placed in Christ, and there's such freedom and liberty, amen, in the message of Jesus, amen. And so, and this is one of the hardest teachings for his disciples to grab a hold of. Further down in the scriptures, we even find that the disciples later in John, that he starts to challenge them about, you know, that you got to eat of my flesh and you got to drink of my blood. And these were guys that were following after him who had seen the miracles and all of that come to pass. But yet when he challenged them to think something totally different than what they thought, what ended up happening? They began to walk away from him. And even to the point to where Jesus looked at the 12 and he said to them, he said, are you going to leave me too? Right? So really, are we really capitalizing on what we believe today? Are we truly capitalizing on the very thought that we really truly believe in Jesus and in the purpose of what he has done? And so that was one of the hot points that I really got out of that. So somebody say, believe. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor and say, believe. Amen. Turn to your other neighbor. Don't make them jealous. All right. Point number three. You are anointed. You are anointed. That right there should just, you know, pop up the fur on the back of your neck. Amen. I mean, it's amazing to us to understand that we are anointed for such a time as this, that we are now on the earth. God is placed us here, and man, now we have an opportunity to use the anointing of God, that when we got in Christ, we were made anointed, that we have the fullness thereof. Somebody say fullness. We have the fullness thereof. We have everything that Jesus and God has intended for us, and that we can live a victorious life. Amen? That makes me happy. That makes me really happy to live victoriously, because I don't know about you, but I've lived sometimes in a mindset of defeat. I know I'm the only one in here that's ever felt defeated. Anyways, I'll stay out of there. I didn't want to say anything about the Bulldogs or anything like that, you know. I didn't want to say that. Y'all didn't hear me say anything like that, all right? All right. And some of y'all are probably like, yeah, what team does he like? Yeah, I'm a Gator fan. Come on, somebody. Jesus loves the Gators, I'm telling you. Yeah. Amen. All right, let me just tell you, I drive a white car. You know, anyways, I won't go there. I don't really drive a white car. I just, if you wanted to go pop somebody's tires, you could pop somebody else's. Amen. All right. And the fourth point, it was this: confidence produces mobility. Confidence produces mobility. And the whole theme, especially towards the end of last week's sermon, was about having the confidence and knowing what we believe. And when we believe something, the confidence gives us the mobility to go and to do the work of the Lord. Amen. And here's where we're challenged. And this is where we're challenged. And Crawford, I really enjoyed your exhortation last week. And I'm going to talk about that for just a minute. And how many knows that throughout the Exposing This Myth series, we have been challenged to repent? And everybody knows what repent means, right? What is it? Come on, you got to say it like you mean it. Think differently. And adhere to the truth and to be set free of a dogmatic religion that has had the body of Christ in bondage for so long. Amen. And so in Crawford's exhortation last week, he mentioned a phrase, and I love this phrase that you had mentioned last week, it stood out to me, and he referenced to what many people say about themselves, and he said this: I can't do, I can't be, and I can't accomplish. Now, one of the things that drives me crazy is a person that says, I can't. I can't. Amen? How many has ever been around people that just says, I can't do this? I can't. And we find up all kinds of excuses why we can't facilitate what's been asked of us or what we're supposed to do. It's even in the marketplace. Well, I can't do this, and it's just it just crawls me, because I think that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All right, so you know, sometimes you got to pull out that scripture and remind yourself that says, I can do all things. I can fulfill. I can do what God is leading us or leading me to do. But One of the things that really stood out to me is the reason why Crawford said that I can't do, I can't be, and I can't accomplish is because we simply disqualify ourselves from good works God has created us to accomplish. And in some way, in some fashion, we think because maybe we have sinned or maybe because we have some, you know, some crazy thoughts in our minds and we're just like, man, I've disqualified myself. God can't use me. But yet every time I read through the scriptures, I find that he used dysfunctional people in powerful ways that changed nations, that changed a lot of the in the scriptures that we read of today, right? Amen? So it's okay to be dysfunctional, all right? I'm dysfunctional. Just ask my family. They'll tell you. My wife will tell you I'm dysfunctional at times in my life. And so thank you, Crawford, for that exhortation, because we have been created for good works. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "For we are the God's work, handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." Now, when we go back to the video that we shared, how many has ever felt really like you've been called to do something that you know that, man, the Lord just placed something on your heart and you were supposed to do it? You knew that the Spirit was dealing with you, but you didn't do it. Okay, I'm honest. All right, it's okay. I mean, we're in a place that should be bringing healed and whole. Come on. Amen. We're healed and whole in this place. And being transparent and being honest helps us to learn from one another, because in the scripture it says we should not forsake the gathering of those that believe. Why? Because there's power in the body of Christ when we get together. Amen. How many has ever known that most of the time the devil doesn't come at you when you're around a group of people who's encouraging you and saying, hey, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. All right? He's always in that place to where you're by yourself, and then all of a sudden something struggle comes into your life, and then that's when he begins to tell you, man, he left you a long time ago, and he reminds you of your past and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes we just got to say, but let me remind you of your future, right? We got to remind you of his future at times. And so today I want to hit this thing, this big buts. Big buts. I know it's such a spiritual title, but it is actually cancer. Come on. If I could really approach it this way, I believe in healed and whole. I believe that we need to attack things that are hindering us from our full potential. Amen. And everybody in this room has full potential. You have the potential to do great things. You have the potential to see your family saved. You have the potential to see your workplace change and radically changed by the love of Jesus. Come on. How many's ever been in some office where you just know there ain't no love there? Everybody's backbiting. Everybody's talking about this person and that person. Come on now. I know I'm hitting some places that's like that. But how many knows that we can go in and be the light in dark places? That we can live the life before people, before men, and see them. He says that the Spirit says that he will draw all men unto him. It's not about you, but it's about him. And if we begin to lift up the Spirit of Jesus, we can actually see things change. We could see the atmosphere change just by that. Amen. And so this morning, let's talk about some big buts. All right. We have been given so much ammunition in the last few months with the series that Pastor has been teaching. We should seek opportunities for us to go. Amen. Last week, Pastor talked about the importance of being sent and that God doesn't use you to abuse you, but we are sent. Amen. We are to believe in the one who was sent, right? We are to believe in the one who was sent. All right, let's try it one more time. We are to believe in the one who is sent. All right? So I want us to understand that when we really begin to get alone with God, God speaks to us, man. He leads us in our heart. And then there's something that changes in our heart, amen? When we begin to start to grasp the agape love of Jesus, how many knows that your love will transform? It morphs. It becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, and it should, because when we start to get more of a revelation of him, how many knows that revelation should change us? And throughout the series that we've been talking about exposing these myths, I don't know about you, but that has been changing me and challenging me at the same time. because there's a lot of things in there that, as pastor has preached in the past, so have I. Amen. It's like he just took all the ammunition. Come on. I was in a place where I did preach the law. And he, now he done took all the ammunition from that. And so now trying to put together a message that constantly that I'm having to rethink and repent through this thing. And like, man, the revelation of what pastor's been teaching, and man, it just goes against from what I normally have believed before and preached before and messed up. But how many knows that God's grace is sufficient? Amen. And even in our mess ups, he can still make something beautiful. And so let's just talk about this for just a minute. Opportunities. Somebody say opportunities. How many believes that you have opportunities? How many believes that you have opportunities around you every single day? We have opportunities that place us. And so, you know, as Ben was exhorting and talking about healed and whole. And you know, he got really happy about that because, you know, he's the one that's teaching the class on Tuesday, you know. And so if you come that night, he's going to be preaching or teaching at healed and whole. But not only is God doing some amazing things in healed and whole, but God is doing some amazing, amazing things at Bridge Student Ministries as well. Amen. Come on, somebody. Every time, everywhere we go, there are opportunities that we can co-labor with God, that God can use you in a powerful way. And so, you know, just recently, a couple weeks ago, we had, and I don't know if she's here this morning or not, but her name is Tanisha. And we were having one of those services, and where you just felt the presence of God. And God was just moving. And at the end of the service, Tanisha, who came in with a broken leg, she was on one of those little scooter things because they don't give out as crutches as much as they used to. They just give you the scooter so you can kind of motor on around. And so this was her first time coming to Bridge. And she was leaning against the wall and she was in some major pain. And as everybody was leaving, I just looked over at her. And how many say, somebody say opportunity. God has always given us opportunities to do things that he's called us to do. And so in the process of this, she was in a lot of pain. And so I just simply said, I just went up to her and I said, I see that you're in a lot of pain. Do you mind if I pray with you? Amen. Do you mind if I just pray with you? And she was very ecstatic about me praying with her. And so I grabbed another person that was there. And so I got down at her feet. And I almost put my nose to her toes. Come on, somebody. You know, and I know a lot of people are like not feet people, right? There's a lot of people be like, nah, them five things right there is of the devil. I ain't getting close to them right there, nah. Right? But I got down there because I just sensed something in the spirit. I just felt that if we just begin to pray, God was going to move. And it's not about, you know, we're asking God to move. He's already moving. We just got to get into the river where it's already moving. Amen. It's nothing of what I'm doing, but it's what he's already done. But all we got to do is begin to have the, you know, the confidence. Somebody say confidence. You got to have the confidence to believe in the one who was sent, right? And so we just begin to pray, and I look down at her, you know, at her feet, and I noticed that she started moving her toes. And so I just begin to pray even more. And then I just kind of peeped up and I said, hey, were you able to move your toes before? And she's like, no, I wasn't able to move my toes. And I said, well, that to me is right there is the sign that you already healed right there. It's already done. It's already finished. And so when we got done praying with her, and it wasn't just, you know, how many knows that we don't have to beg God? Right? We don't have to beg God for the very thing that he's already given us. We don't have to beg for it, right? And so my prayer was not to beg God to heal her, but my prayer was that she was already healed in Jesus' name. And so there's a different approach, and I have to give kudos to Pastor who has been teaching us about this, that we don't have to beg for what we already have. We don't have to, you know, make sure that the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and all that kind of stuff. All we got to do is just believe. Amen. And so the great story of this is that when she left, she was walking on her foot. She had her cast on. She was walking. She just kind of pulled the scooter behind her and just went on out to the car. And she said, and she pulled up to the door, and she says, "Look, I'm driving with my right foot. If anybody knows what it's like to drive with a cast." She's like, "I'm driving with my right foot." And so let me tell you, is it okay to be transparent? Because I think that there's always good things in transparency. And in this transparency, I'm calling her the next day. "How's your leg doing? How's your leg doing? Is it doing okay?" Because there's that little bit of us that's still human. Come on, right? That we're still human. And so, and to be honest with you, if it's okay, I'm just going to be honest with you. I was waiting to hear that, "Well, it's not hurting as much." Right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, it was like the fire of God that night. Boom, man, it was awesome. But then the next day you're like, "How's your leg doing?" And she said, "No pain." No pain. So, this story is really cool, because if you understand, she was hit by a truck and her bone was snapped in half. It wasn't like a fracture. It wasn't a little slight fracture. This is a bone that was snapped in half, right? And so, me being the spiritual person, I called her the following day. "How's your leg?" She said, "No pain." I said, "Praise God." In fact, she said, "I called the doctor and I said, I need you to cut this cast off and get this thing off of my leg." And she said, "Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm about to cut it off myself." I said, "Whoa, no, don't cut it off. Don't cut it off." I said, "Because I want to be a spiritual person." I said, "No, go to the doctor, make sure that they cut it off. Let them take an x-ray of it from the old x-ray to the new x-ray, and it gives the validity of how God healed." Amen. So that when you have a testimony, you go, "See this picture? You see this picture in a week? Totally different." All right? So, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our what? Testimony. Just 2 weeks ago, we prayed for a young lady, Lisa Hunter. Maybe some of you guys know. Lisa Hunter has been dealing with MS. She's had MS all her life. And so if anybody understands MS, it's a terrible disease, and it leaves her without any energy. It leaves her with a lot of pains and aches and all that kind of stuff. And I'm telling you what, God is doing some really miraculous things at Bridge, because we're tapping into the source, amen? We're tapping into the source, and we're believing for God to do some great things with Bridge in our community and in our church and all of that. But and we prayed with her as well. And man, the fire of God was so hot. I mean, you could feel the fire on her body. And to this day, she says, "I've had all the energy. I have no pain. I've just been healed about that." Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. So let me just tell you, you have opportunities all around you. Everywhere you go, you have an opportunity. Amen. And so my first point was this, and I want to talk about this: love with sincerity. Love with sincerity. Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 24 says, "And let us consider us how we may spur one another on towards love." Somebody say love and good deeds. All right. And isn't it amazing that love is before the good deeds? Love is before the good deeds. So in other words, what we need to do is we need to have a revelation of love and what true love is. Amen. And so that we can exercise love and spur somebody. I don't know about you, but I don't think a horse really likes it when it gets spurred, right? How many believes that right there? Do you ever see like the horse go, "Man, just kick me again," with those spurs? The horse doesn't. The horse just knows when he gets kicked with that, "I don't like it, I'm taking off," right? But we have been called to spur one another. How many knows that we've heard that scripture that says iron sharpens iron? Amen? That we've got to come together and we got to spur one another, because that is the purpose of why the church should come together. It should not only be just because we need spoon-fed from this pulpit. Come on now, you got to be spoon-feeding yourself outside of the church. You can't just think that it's always got to come from the pulpit, but there's some things that you got to do on your own, in your own study and in your own relationship. And so we need to, and I think that it's important that we spur one another, because we need to challenge one another. And that's what I want to do. And this is what the whole purpose of this message is today, is I want to challenge you to stop being lazy, stop being slothful. Look for the opportunities around where God can use you in an awesome way. And again, I'm not using that term use, but not to abuse, but use you as co-laborers with Him. Amen. That we have the opportunities that can absolutely change lives completely around us. Amen. I don't know about you, but I love seeing a life changed. I love to see somebody healed. I love to see somebody's belly full with some food. All right. I like to see somebody's bill, their electric bill paid. When they've got little children and, man, they're going through a hard time. I mean, it's amazing to me when we looked at in Acts, it said, man, they sold all their possessions together to pull everything together. I mean, they wasn't selfish one bit. They were looking for opportunities that they could help people and to be the body of Christ when the first century church was formed. Amen. And they looked for it because they wanted it. Because when you have an experience with the man, come somebody say the man. He is the man. Right? When we have that experience with Jesus, it should not keep you quiet, but it should make you loud and proud, baby. I mean, it's time for us to really begin to unction what the Spirit unctions us to and leads us to do. And so I want you to understand, love is the motivation of why we are sent. 1 John 4:7, it says this, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God, right? So we love should be the motivation. But many times we find that the selfish nature of how humans are today, we're always looking for the up and up and how we can get up. And love is not always the motivation. But God has called us to go into love. Because why? We know that 1 John 4:19 says we love because He first what? Loved us. And so it's in the process that when we start to understand a little bit more of God's love, why wouldn't you want to open your mouth and begin to share the love of Jesus? Or share the revelation that we've been sitting under for the last 3 months. Why wouldn't we? Oh, there's a spur right there. What gives us the right to be lazy? Man, I'm telling you, when I've received something like that, why wouldn't I want to share that? Why wouldn't I want to go out into the highways and byways and compel people? Why wouldn't I want to share the love of Jesus, you know, with my coworker who's going through a divorce or something like that, that needs to hear something, edifying and encouraging? Why wouldn't I want to share that? Why wouldn't I? Why? What gives me the right to keep quiet? Point number two, which leads me to this, yield to the Spirit. Yield to the Spirit. Here's where we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, right? And so last week, Pastor challenged us with this notion. He said, and many of us, how many knows that you've been called? Amen. You know, every hand in this place should be raised, all right? Some of you guys need to understand you've been called. We've been called. Amen. We've been set apart, all right? Listen. He said this, and Pastor summed this up last week in a statement. He said, the need is the call. The need is the call. Somebody said, the need is the call. And it's amazing to me that when I even look back in my years of ministry, I look and see the opportunities of where God has taken me and where I've actually taken myself. I've been yield to the Spirit of God and how He leads and things like that. But I've also been in a position where I've led myself. Come on. I've led myself in places also. But I was sitting there and in my office, I was just thinking about this. I said, you know, these places where God has led me. And he led me to a place called the First Assembly of God in Lake City. And there it was the first time that I senior pastored a church, didn't know anything. I'd been doing student ministry for about 10 years at that time. And all I knew how to do was speak to kids, right? And so, and even today, is it okay if I again, transparency, even today, I'm like, man, it's been a while since I preached in the main sanctuary. And I think that there is a level of reservation when it comes to sharing the Word of God. In a sense, sometimes, again, you battle these things like, man, God, how can you really use me? How am I going to change somebody's life? Man, I've got this or that or whatever. And but I remember the need in the city. Somebody say the city. How many knows that when a church closes its doors, and I know that there are some that probably need to close their doors, all right? But this church was a major impact in feeding the homeless in the city, and I mean, they were doing some really good things, but at the same time, what was a good thing turned into a bad thing, and so I followed some pretty heavy shoes as a pastor there. You know, it's one of those churches that, you know, you go, yeah, no, I'm not going to go there because of all the stuff that had happened prior to that. But I'm the crazy one that said, Lord, send me. I'm like Isaiah, who will go? Send me, Lord, I'll go. And so I went in, first church, senior pastoring church, who followed a pastor who embezzled $300,000, and I mean, the church in disarray, and people left the church, and it was a vibrant church, and then all of a sudden it was down to 8 people. Somebody say new beginnings. Amen. If you know the numerality, the numbers, at 8 represents new beginnings. And that's what we started with. And in a short year time, we were up to about 120 people. And man, God just doing some really cool things and you know, revitalizing the church. And so that was one opportunity that God had led me when I yielded to the Spirit. The second one was Christ Central Lake Butler. Some of you guys probably were like, Lake Butler? Where in the world is Lake Butler, man? It's a metropolitan city. Come on, somebody. It's actually a little bit bigger than Hayhira, huh? You know what I'm talking about? It's a really great community. It's in the smallest county in the state of Florida, and it is literally, the county had 15,000 people in it. That's all that the county had, and 5,000 of them were incarcerated. Yeah, yeah. So in other words, the city was right in the middle of where all the prison system was. And so, man, you know, the church had closed down, or it wasn't closed, but they had a pastor change over, and I was part of another church at one time, and the pastor, just much like how the Lord said, I send you, this apostle also, he said, I'm going to send you to Lake Butler. And I said, okay, here I am, Lord. Send me. And so we went, and somebody say, 8 is new beginnings. It always seems so funny how God leads me to places that have 8 people. I don't know why. So like when God sent me to, you know, Southland at that time, now Grace Point, I was like, man, this church got a little bit more than 8 people. Thank you, Jesus. I've been delivered of the small church. I'm kidding. And but man, we've done and that assignment took me from it took me 5 years as a senior pastor at Christ Central Lake Butler. And man, we had seen God do amazing things. A church that was in a small town out in the country, and just to see God, I mean, we just made an impact in our community. Amen. Because I believe that's what ministry should do. It should make impact in our community. Amen. And then the third one, here it is. And then God sent me to Southland, now Grace Point. And here we come, you know, my job transfers me up here. And it was a no-brainer for me when I knew that I was moving to Valdosta, what church I was going to, because of the connection that I have with Apostle. And he's been a voice that has spoken in my life for the last 10 years. And so we have relationship, amen? It's nice to go somewhere where you have relationship. And to be honest with you, this has also been a place where I've been able to heal some, because I don't know about you, but ministry can cause scars at times. Amen? How many know that sheep bite? Sheep do bite. Amen. And so, but it's been a great experience. And so when we came here, you know, I honestly just wanted to sit. My wife said, you're going to sit. We're going to actually go to church together. And you're just going to relax. But how many knows, like what Pastor was saying last week, he said, hard work is what I've been geared for. You know, his daddy had taught him about hard work and things like that. And so I'm a lot like that. I'm about hard work. I get up early. Today, actually, I was the first one here at the church. I actually beat Johanna here. I was amazed by that, because that woman right there works really hard. And so through that, though, I know that when we came here, at that time, there was a transition taking place with Johanna. She had stepped down from youth ministry. And I'm just a round peg for the round hole. And so I have teenagers, and I want them to have something that they can call their ministry or their church. And so I have the experience. And so what did I do? I started a youth ministry here and revamped it up. And man, to me, this youth ministry here is one of the best youth ministries I've ever been able to be a part of. Amen? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I've got some awesome youth workers. I've got some awesome teenagers. And man, I am so blessed. And if you ever get a chance to look at the youth room back there, you know, for 1,800 square feet that we have maximized that place out. And it looks incredible. And it's something to definitely be proud of. And so here again, I say, Lord, send me. And so now we have an awesome student ministry here, and we're fixing to do some new things. And I'm working on trying to get all of our team to go out to the ramp. How many has ever heard of the ramp? All right. Right now I have, you know, with my connection with Eddie James, we're working on right now where we, you know, our student ministry will be meeting with the leadership of the ramp and sitting down for a weekend and just talking with them and having them pour into us ideas and things that we can do to make an impact, because there's opportunities here. There's opportunities here in Valdosta. You know, there's opportunities all around us. We need to take advantage of those opportunities to see to see God do some awesome things, because why? We're co-laboring with Him. Amen. He doesn't need us, but He chose us and He wants us. Amen. How many knows that it feels good to be wanted? Amen. Amen. And so, Grace Point, let me just hit this. Grace Point was not created to save Valdosta. Christ has already done that, but we are to be the hands and feet to carry the light and to co-labor with Him. Amen. Amen. We are to be a city on a hill that is not hidden. Amen. We don't put the good stuff under the bushel. We light the way so that people can see the goodness of God. All right, point number three, and I'm trying to keep, wrap this thing up here. I got 6 minutes. Does anybody think that I can do this in 6 minutes? I don't think so. Ye of little faith. All right. Point number three, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? In Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37, it says this: on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up and tested Jesus. He said, "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." In verse 28, he said, "You answered correctly," and Jesus replied, "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Somebody say, "Who is my neighbor?" That neighbor is right next to you. Why are we asking who is my neighbor when you're sitting right next to your neighbor? Let me go on. In verse 30, he said, in reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by robbers, and they stripped him of his clothes and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead." Verse 31, "A priest happened to going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, and passed by the other side. But a Samaritan, somebody say, but. All right, here we go. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. How many knows that he was already grabbing their attention when he said the Samaritan? Because this is a dog, you know, in their day and age. I mean, this would be like, this is the dog of the dog right here. So he's grabbing their attention. He grabbed their attention first. He said, the priest. Everybody thinks, the priest, right? Everybody puts the priest on the pedestal, right? They put the pastor on the pedestal, right? And then he talks about the Levite. Everybody knows who the Levite was at that time. I mean, they're the busy bees, the workers, right? But then he uses the Samaritan. But he said a Samaritan, as he was traveling, came down, and the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. And he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn to take care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robber? And the expert of the law replied, the man who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So I want to challenge you, who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is whoever God crosses your path with. I believe that we have destiny relationships all the time. I know that I may get this wrong. I know that there are people that are momentary in our life. Some are a little bit longer, and then you have the lifetime, right? You have people that, man, you just connect, and for the lifetime, you're connected. But I believe that we have destiny connections continuously, always. Amen. Because why? We're carriers of the Word of God. We're carriers of the Spirit of God. We're carriers of this. And so wherever we go, we can be the light to somebody. We can share. Who is our neighbor? Our neighbor is everyone that is around us. Everyone where we look, they're a neighbor. See, we live in a day and age today that nobody even knows their neighbors physically anymore. You know, it used to be back in the day, man. It was like, you know, I'll be honest with you. I haven't really talked to any of my neighbors since we moved in, you know, downtown pretty much here in Valdosta. And come on, somebody, I was set free of Brooks County. Come on, somebody. I'm so used to being in Lake Butler that it was 25 to 30 miles to any city. And it was amazing to me that I was just over the river. I wasn't even deep-hearted in Brooks County. I mean, I was just over the river. And people go, man, you live way on out here. I'm like, I'm 4 miles from the interstate. But now I don't know where I was going. But anyways, we're in a position that we don't even know our neighbors. And so yesterday, actually, a neighbor walked across the street, seen me out mowing the yard, and came and introduced himself. His name is Mike Evans, and he's retired. He was in the military. He's retired from VSU, and man, it was nice getting to know Mike Evans, and he's like, man, I've been meaning to come by and introduce myself. And you know, we should be that way. We should know people who are around us. We should take the time to find out who our neighbor is, so that we can build relationship with them. And so the first thing he tells me, he goes, I'm going to just let you know I'm Baptist. That neighbor right there, he's Methodist. And I said, well, brother, I'm Pentecostal. He said, man, we completed here, aren't we? I said, man, our neighborhood is covered. And so we just begin to talk. And man, he was like, man, so tell me where you're from. And I'm like, well, you tell me where you're from. And so it's amazing that you can just start building those relationships with each other. Who is our neighbor? And the fourth point is this. And you may stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I'm going to close out with this last point. It's 12 o'clock, and I've done the best that I can. All right? And I love this story. I love the story of David and Goliath. Pastor even hit on this last week. And to me, it is it, it's a story of victory, and it's a story of confidence, and it's a story of faithfulness. It's a story, and it's all wrapped up into one, right? And so as Crawford was even exhorting last week and you know, talking about, you know, I can't, and we disqualify ourselves and all that kind of stuff. And it's really easy. It's really easy to disqualify ourselves a lot of times. But with the teaching we've been getting, there's no reason for you to disqualify. You haven't been disqualified. So now I gotta spur you to say, get up, do something. Make a change. I'm going to spur you. Man, get that love going. Because you've been created for good works. Amen? And so this is my last point. And I don't have the scriptures up there, but I'm going to read just a little bit. Well, I won't read it all. The last point is this. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? So it's in that story, it is so powerful that, you know, David is in this position. Man, he comes up with some bread he's going to give to his brothers. And he looks out. And what Pastor said is correct. He didn't look out there and say, who is that giant out there? He didn't say that. He said, who's that uncircumcised Philistine? He's blaspheming my God. And he looks around and he sees, you know, the laziness of Israel. Scared. I ain't going out there. Let somebody else do that. There's a lot of times, even in ministry today, we're just going to wait on the pastor to do it all. And we work our pastors and our leaders to death when you have been called to do the very thing. I'm spurring, okay? Is that all right? I know spurring's not fun. Spurring is not easy. But you have been created for good works. And if we took approach like David here, David said, I could just see it right now. How many has ever been so mad, man, you pace? Anybody? I mean, walk the yard. Man, I can't believe she said that to me. Come on. Let me get in my car. I mean, you get in that position where, man, David was in that position where he said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? Is there not a purpose? Why? We can't allow big butts to get in the way. But I don't have enough time. But I don't know enough of the Bible. It's not about knowing enough of the Bible. Do you have a relationship with the living God? Can you be an encouragement to somebody? Can you give a positive word? Can you tell them, can you just be the shoulder that somebody even cries on? You ain't got to say a word. Can you position yourself where the butts get out of the way? Shrink the butts. Shrink the butts. As the guy was saying on the video, shrink the butts. Look for those opportunities. Is there not a cause? You know, if I was to ask you, what is something that really moves you in your heart? What really, like, man, every time I hear this, this just spurs me, makes me angry, or it makes me want to do something. The need is the call. And I want to encourage you to be a part of something that's much bigger than you. It's not all about you. It's about the body of Christ. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Turn to your neighbor and say, is there not a cause? Go ahead, don't make the other one jealous. Is there not a cause? This morning, I just want to exhort you and lift you up and say, man, you have been created for good works. Don't allow your mistakes, your mishaps, your decisions, maybe at one time has messed you up, but I want you to be healed of that, healed and whole, You have been created for good things. So as I close out this service today, and ministry team, if you would come. Now last week, now I was not here. Ministry team, you can come. And now last week I wasn't here, but I know that at the end, because of listening to the recording, that many people came forward as Pastor prayed a prayer over them that are saying, hey, I feel called. I know that I have purpose. You know, for me, if you cut me, not only will I bleed orange and blue, but I will bleed purpose and destiny. Because I know that I know that I know that I have purpose and destiny in my life. I know that I was created for such a time as this. If he created Jeremiah, and that he's no respecter of persons, that he set him apart to be a voice to the nations, so will he do for us. It's not about your perfection, because perfection is of the devil. We strive, but perfection was manifested on the cross. And that's where perfection was completed. Now it's for us to start operating in the grace and the mercy of God. Allow us to be led of the Spirit of God, to be movers and shakers, ministering the love of Jesus, not because we have to. God doesn't say you have to, but we get to. It's all in the way that you think about this. Amen? You don't have to do it, but I'm going to spur you to do it, because it should be something that we should do out of the love that we receive. Freely what we receive, freely we what? We give. Amen. Let me pray real quick, and then I'll release you. But please, if you need prayer, and maybe you know that God is dealing with you on a subject, and I want to pray with you, and I want to release that. I want to come into an agreement with you, because the Bible says wherever two or three come, there I'm in the midst. Although we already know he's already here, but there's power in connecting and assimilating with one another. Amen. A church that assimilates correctly is a church that will grow. And so I'm going to spur you to say, hey, get active in the church. Get active in a small group. Go back to the back and look on that wall. Get active with people. Get active with those groups. Get active with the Bridge Student Ministry. Get active with the Children's Ministry. Get active. Don't sit back. This is your time. Come together. Strength. Build one another. Encourage one another. That, man, we can go out the next day and, man, just be on fire. Amen. Well, let me just close and pray, and then you guys will be released. Please, don't leave out of here if you need prayer. We want to pray with you. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today. Father, we thank you, God, that your presence is here. It's always here, that you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. Father, we ask, Lord, today that you would strengthen our hearts and strengthen our minds, God. That, Father, that we would continually grow in your love, your grace, and mercy over our lives. That, Father, we would have a greater understanding of you. And, Father, in our hearts and in our minds. Father, we ask, Lord, today, as we leave out of this place, Lord, let there be a praise within us. That, Father, that we have been spurred to one another to go to grow in our love. And, Father, that we would see the good works that you've created for us to accomplish, Lord, that we would co-labor with you. And, Father, we give you praise and honor today. Father, we celebrate you, for you're worthy. You're worthy, Father. We thank you so much, Lord, for the strength that you've given us. And, Father, that we have the ability, God. We have the ability because you have given us the ability, because we're in you. That, Father, that we could see our city, Valdosta, changed in Jesus' name. Father, we know that we haven't been called to save the city, but, Father, we have been called to do our part. And, Father, whatever that may mean, Father, let us do it with diligence. Let us do it with wholeheartedness. And, Father, that we would see the impact of the gospel change our city, change our county, God, change our state, Lord. And Father, we give you praise and honor today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless. You guys are released. If you need prayer, please come.